I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Guardians just keep on rolling. We'll talk about it here coming up. Obviously, training camp is officially underway. Got lots of Browns to get to as well. It's a Thursday here on The Fan. Spencer German. And for the first time, I'm really excited about this. I get to work with Danny Cunningham.
You should be
here at the station. We've done some other stuff together outside of here, but to actually work together here, I'm excited about it.
Me too. I'm very excited for today.
Are you somebody, by the way, I don't know, like, your general, like, you know, sleep schedule, like how you hit. I'm somebody who, like, I'm usually up late, and then, you know, I wouldn't say I sleep in, but like I'm not burning the midnight oil like Ken and Lima to get here when they get here in the morning. So when I work this shift like multiple times in a week, like I'm exhausted at this point in the week.
Well, I mean, I do think it's a little bit different for you because you have a child and I don't. Like, I think that is something that definitely impacts your sleep schedule.
And we're doing potty training right now, which is just like a complete disaster.
I'm not doing that at all. I know how to use the bathroom pretty well. So I am somebody that, like, on my normal sleep schedule, I'm up late, which I think comes with the territory of covering the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, during basketball season, if the Cavs play that night, you can just count on me being up until 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, that is what that's what my life entails at this point. So during the summer, I try and make that not the case, but I was so exhausted after yesterday. One, I went home after doing the show with Daryl and I took a nap because I was just like, I could not stay awake any longer. I fell asleep at like 11 o'clock in the morning, slept for 2.5 hours, and then I was in bed at 9:45 last night.
Oh, that sounds like a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
I wish that was the case.
Exhausted.
For me.
I was so tired last night.
I like pretty much every night that I've been before I've been in here. I've run on like 4 hours of sleep. Like I still was like up late finishing things, working on things, and part of that, like you said, is because I have a kid at home. Where it's like I like what I would normally do is like I eat dinner and then okay I have a couple hours here I can get some stuff done. But that time after dinner is spent like getting my son ready for bed, making sure he stays in bed, and then I can finally start those things. So it's always just a process. It's like an extra step that's kind of thrown into but my biggest thing, like my wife, we were sitting at dinner the other night and she was like, I was telling her when I work the morning show, I get to like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm like, I'm exhausted. Like, I feel like my day should just be over. And I still have like another like 5 hours worth of things that I have to do. And she was like, yeah, you could never do this show. And I was like, well, I would have to change the way I go about my schedule for sure. She was like, yeah, no kidding. Cause you're usually up till like you said, like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning working on stuff or whatever. And I just, it's a whole new world for me. I'm here. But if somebody had been here, Mitch is the only person who's been here every day with me. He's probably noticed that like Monday, I was here at like 5:25, ready to go. And then Tuesday, I was here at like 5:35. And then today, I was here at like 5:45. So there's no telling what time I'll be here tomorrow.
Well, let's just hope you're here before six. Let's just hope that you are here before six tomorrow. I think we'll take that as a win, considering the direction that that's trending. Like, I got in it at 5:35, and I left a little early so I could go get coffee this morning, because I did feel as if that was a problem with my day yesterday, is that I did not go and get coffee prior to the show. So I did that this morning. It meant I got in a few minutes later. I'm like, man, I'm going to be the last one there. It was not the last one here today. That's all I'll say.
In my defense, I did have to get gas this morning, and I kind of forgot about that.
Well, that changes everything.
Yeah, I did kind of forget about that until I like got on the highway, and I was like, oh, no. I'm going to have to do this on the way there. So that kind of threw a wrench into things, too. 216-474-0092. It is an eventful Thursday here on The Fan, because we finally have legitimate Browns content to talk about. No more of this just like predicting the quarterback competition and, you know, guessing who's going to start at certain positions. No, we are actually going to see it play out in real time. As of yesterday, that all gets started. And one of the big things to come out of yesterday, Danny, of course, was Myles Garrett's comments regarding expectations for the team. And listen, I go into every year expecting that, you know, what the Vegas number is and what people are saying about the team isn't, nobody showed up to training camp with the team they play for being like, hey, yeah, that Vegas win total, that's, we're just going to try to beat that. Like, of course, everybody has higher expectations.
Right.
But what I think is interesting about Myles Garrett, we'll play you the clip here in just a second. What I think is interesting about Myles Garrett setting the expectations where he did is just the context of where he came from this offseason. Like, we all know what he said at Radio Row at the Super Bowl back in February. And I wonder if these comments ring hollow with most fans, especially given what Myles Garrett said about the team earlier this offseason. We'll play the clip here. Here's what Myles said yesterday in regards to expectations as he arrives at camp.
I expect to get to the Super Bowl. Well, that's our expectation every year. I expect to run back the defensive player of the year. You know, keeping both those things in mind, I have to be the very best player I can be every single day, whether we're practicing or playing. You know, as soon as I step foot in the building, I have to be the best version of myself and the best leader I can possibly.
Like, normally, Danny, I think if Myles Garrett showed up to camp and said that, I think it would be, I think Browns fans would eat it up in a way, because Browns fans are always looking for a reason to be optimistic.
Sure.
And so I think they'd eat it up where it's like, yeah, I love that Myles is saying this. Why can't this be our year? But I think coming from him, the context of everything that played out this offseason, I just wonder if people hear these comments in Cleveland and they just kind of roll their eyes and they're like, okay, Myles, sure.
So I look at it as the tale of two different statements with inside one statement. Because the defensive player of the year stuff that he said, like, I think that's fine and true, and like that should be his personal expectation. And I think as a fan base, we should expect Myles Garrett to be involved in those discussions, whether or not he wins the award again at the end of the season or not. Like, he is somebody that should find himself on that sort of ballot. He should be in that conversation. He is somebody that I think is the best defensive player in the game of football. So he should be in that conversation. As far as the Super Bowl stuff goes, I think that he's in a tough spot there. And I don't look at what he did this winter. Like, I don't necessarily care about that at this point, because he's here and all indications seem to be like he is where his feet are, right? Like, he's in the present right now, and that's fine. While it is delusional to think that the Browns could be in the Super Bowl this year, that is not happening. There's not a path to that, considering their win total out in Vegas, as you mentioned, is set at 4.5 games, and I might take the under there. But what's Myles supposed to say? Oh, no, our goal is to win 6 games. Like, what are you supposed to say in that setting? Maybe it is, you know, we want to exceed some of the outside expectations. Maybe you say that. But you're not going to say, you know, internally, we want to win 6 games. That's not what you're ever going to say as somebody that is the best player on the team, the face of a franchise, the team captain, even if we can have a long discussion about his leadership role. But you're never going to say, we're just happy to be here, right? That's not how professional sports work. Every team, whether it's the Browns this year or the New York Jets, who are probably going to stink too. Like, I bet Justin Fields is doing whatever media availability he's doing right now and is going to say, yeah, our goal is to get to the Super Bowl this year. 32 teams in the NFL have the same goal. for most of them, it's not attainable. The Browns, it's not attainable this year. Maybe it will be in the future, but right now that's not an attainable goal. But it is still one that I do feel as if Myles Garrett has to say, even if everybody there, because I believe you were there when he said it.
Yes.
Everybody there knows, okay, this is not happening. Like, that's not a realistic goal. But what's he supposed to say?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you mentioned every team has the same goal. I know Mitch, when we were texting about the Myles comments yesterday, he threw out that, like, Omar Khan, Mark Andrews, Aaron Glenn, Patrick Surtain. Like, there's a long list of people. Basically, the first day of training camp is basically just like, everybody's winning the Super Bowl day. Because everybody was ready to sit there and tell you, hey, we, you know, our goal is the Super Bowl. We think we can get there. And you're right. And here's the thing. Like, working in this space, you and I especially, like, we are in locker rooms with players on a pretty regular basis, whether it's the Browns, whether it's the Cavs, whatever. Like, we know, like, we get a better insight into, like, where these guys' heads are at with things. And you're right. You can understand where Myles is in an impossible situation where he's showing up to camp. He can't come in and just be like, yeah, as long as we get to 6 wins because Vegas thinks we're only going to win 4.5, 5.5, we're good. It's not that I don't think he shouldn't say these things. I just wonder if, like, this felt like a moment for me where in previous years people would rally around this because it's Myles and he's one of the faces of the franchise and all this. And this year I just wonder if it kind of rings more hollow because of everything that transpired. I think there's going to be constant reminders with Myles of, like, yeah, I didn't forget what you said about this team, you know, not so long ago. And I ultimately, the main thing fans are going to care about with him is, like, if you're out there on Sundays and you're getting sacks and you're in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year and you're, you know, in the conversation for the sack title, we're good. Like, we can wrap our heads around, like, the paid gun thing, which everyone's a paid gun of sports anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I just think, like, comments like, I think Myles has kind of lost the leverage to say something like this and it actually, like, resonate with the fans in a meaningful way, I guess.
Well, I don't think it resonates with the fans in a meaningful way because I don't think our fans are dumb. I think our fans kind of see what this year is going to be about. The reason you could say this last year, and I understand what happened last year and the fact that they go 3-14 and how bad they were.
Yeah.
But the reason why Myles Garrett could say that last year, not be laughed out of the room saying it, I don't know whether or not he actually said it, but just stick with me here, is because they went to the playoffs the year before. Right. And the reason he could say it the year before that was because, well, they were coming off of a disappointing season, but the bones were there for a playoff caliber team. Right. And you would have expected Deshaun Watson not being suspended that year going to look like the Deshaun Watson the Browns thought they traded for. The reason they said that after going to the playoffs, because, oh, well, we just went to the playoffs and won a playoff game. Of course, the next step is to have Super Bowl aspirations, where this year the Browns are coming off of a bad season. And they didn't do anything this offseason to make you feel as if they meaningfully improved. Like, they made this offseason a gigantic trade in trading out of number 2 and trading away essentially Travis Hunter to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a move that is not going to make them better whatsoever this year. That was a move that's going to make them better maybe in 2026, maybe in 2027. They didn't do things this offseason to try and make themselves winners this year. And I don't think that's been true of any of the other off seasons in the Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry era. This is the first time where they had an off season. It's like, okay, well, our eyes are not really on 2025. And that's why I think when you hear these words about, you know, the Super Bowl paired with the win total being at 4.5, it just rings hollow. I don't think it has, for me, anything to do with how Myles Garrett operated this off season. I think it has so much more to do with how the Browns as an organization operated this off season.
216-474-92. Does Myles Garrett saying that the expectation is Super Bowl, does it mean anything to you? Does it ring a little more hollow because of the fact that not so many months ago, he was sitting there saying that this team was no good anyway and kind of leading you into understanding where this team was at going into this season? Or does it get you a little jazzed up? Because I know Browns fans at this time of year are looking for any reason to be optimistic. And I do think this also kind of plays into, I talked with Daryl earlier in the week, Danny, about this idea that, and I don't know, this could probably be disproven to a degree in terms of, like, how much people are engaged with our content and with the station and with the Browns right now. But, like, understanding where the team is at and what the expectations are, are people less interested in camp and the Browns right now than they were even a year ago? And I think there's reasons maybe why they are, and there's maybe reasons why they aren't. Some of that has to do with, obviously, the quarterback competition. Daryl Ryder, who filled in with Danny yesterday, he was with me on Monday and Tuesday. He made a major point this entire week of letting everybody know that, like, he bought the special tickets for last night's game. he had to be there to get the shirt and the bobblehead. That and the bobblehead was like very exclusive.
He was very excited about it yesterday.
He left Berea in like a flurry to get to the stadium on time. So I kind of want to know, like, we need like Daryl bobblehead watch. Like, did he get the bobblehead? Did he get there in time?
I'm sure you will find out later today, and I'm sure we will find out, if not later today, I'm sure we'll find out tomorrow when he joins the show.
Yeah, that's going to be the first thing we ask him is, hey, did you get all the Superman apparel that you needed? We'll talk Gordo's here coming up in a few minutes in relation to they stay hot. The Tigers continue to slide. Is it a recipe for buying at the trade deadline here next week? But I'm curious your thoughts, Danny, because as we talked about, like, Miles and him coming in with the Super Bowl expectation thing, I don't know. Like, I've wondered if the – because you're right. I think fans aren't stupid. They know where this team is at. You know, they understand why the Vegas number is what the Vegas number is. And I do feel like they are – approaching the season with this just kind of like tempered expectations. Like, okay, we'll see what happens, right? Which is a little bit different because I think most years you can always find Browns fans who are willing to like talk themselves into something. I mean, I remember the 0-17 season. Browns fans talking themselves into this team being better than people thought they were going to be, and then they didn't win a single game. So it happens.
That was a tough one.
And I'm not saying those fans aren't out there doing that right now, but it just feels like there is kind of like this understanding of where this team is. And so I've kind of wondered if the quarterback competition is something that fans are excited about because, well, hey, there's all these different possibilities and Joe Flacco's back. Or if it's something that is almost, I don't know, making for less excitement because they're like, well, if we have all four of these quarterbacks, we kind of know where we are, and I'm not really excited about any of them.
Well, I do think that there is a section of the fan base, and I'm not saying that this section is wrong because I don't even know that they are. But I think that there is a section of the fan base that is willing to talk themselves into the Browns being better than we think they're going to be.
Yeah.
But when you do see that, because I'm sure you see that if I see it, it's talking themselves into, well, they could win like 7 or 8 games. Like, there's a path to them getting to around 500. But nobody's talking themselves into, this is the Browns team that could win 10, 11, 12 games, go on a run in the postseason. Like, nobody is doing that, and I think rightfully so. Is there a world in which the over of the win total hits and they win 7, 8 games? I think so. I wouldn't predict that. I think I'm probably a little bit more pessimistic because of the quarterback situation than most about this team. But I do think you could talk yourself into, well, the Browns are going to get back to what Kevin Stefanski did best early in his tenure here with what they want to do offensively. And if they have a good running game, it can make life easier for whatever one of these four quarterbacks earns the starting job for however long they have it, because I do expect we're going to see multiple quarterbacks throughout the year. So I do understand all of that, but it's just when you hear the word Super Bowl with a team that is expected to win between 4 and 6 games, it's always going to ring a little hollow to me, no matter what happened with the star player this offseason. Like, I can push beyond what Myles Garrett said and did this offseason. I don't care. And I do think part of it maybe was a financial play, and it obviously worked out for him. Yeah, now he's the second highest defensive player in football, highest paid defensive player in football. So I can look past that a little bit. But ultimately, I just can't get on board with it because I think what the team did the rest of the offseason does not align with those words.
Yeah, listen, I think you're right in terms of like what the team did. And I think part of that was they were just strapped in general. Like, they don't have the financial situation isn't great because of the Deshaun contract. There's a lot of things that they were sort of working through there. I think the only person I've heard say even mention the Browns and playoffs in the same sentence was Mike Florio, who was on earlier this week. Like, he came up with some way that the Browns get to the playoffs where he was like, yeah, you know, why, who's to say they can't get to 10 wins and maybe be a sneaky playoff team? Like, I'm not there. My biggest argument for exceeding those expectations has been, yeah, the stuff that you sort of laid out as well, Danny. Like, you're going back to Stefanski's offense. If the offensive line, and I think that's it's a big if, can stay healthy, this group thrives in that system. We know that. Get back to running the football, the play action stuff that, you know, Joe Flacco thrived in 2023 that helped you get to the playoffs the last time around. Those are all reasons why, and I've said from the beginning, like, I think this defense, I don't think the defense was as bad as people made it out to be last year. I think they were given like a short, you know, they were put in a bad situation because of how bad the offense was.
Right.
And if you just get competent offense this year, yeah, I think 6-7 games, like, you could win 3 more games than you did a year ago with a more competent offense than you had a year ago. Now, I know there's people who are saying, are we sure the offense is going to be more competent? I get that. That's, you know, that's fair.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can, like, express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I think it will be, because I just think the quarterback play we saw last year was some of the worst quarterback play we've ever seen in NFL history.
Right.
But no, do I think that means playoffs? Do I think that means Super Bowl? Of course not. I still think they're a ways away from all those things, and maybe that comes. Maybe those expectations can be back next year if they draft a franchise quarterback. And again, it's not that I think Myles Garrett wasn't supposed to say this. I just think it's fascinating, like, where people sort of stand on this team, because this is a time of year that people are getting, you know, excited about football being back and excited about their Browns being back. But I also think, you know, hearing Miles say that, I think people probably rolled their eyes because they kind of know what lies ahead for this team, if you will. Like, they know where this team is at. They're right. Not stupid. the quarterback competition is what it is. And I haven't heard anybody really try to sell. I would say this, Danny, like I think exceeding expectations in 2025 is what you mentioned. Like, get to 7 wins, get to maybe 8 wins. And I think all of a sudden people are like, okay, that's a pretty successful season. Not that Myles Garrett's going to come out and say, like, let's just win 8 games. And I'm not expecting him to. But to me, like, I feel like that ends up being a successful season for everybody involved. And we're not talking about then Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry and company getting fired. We're probably talking about, like, all right, so who's their franchise quarterback that they're taking next year? And is next year the year, like, is next year finally, like, the make it or break it year for this team?
I think that a successful season for the Browns would be to feel good about this team going into the offseason. I think that is the way that I would define success for them. It's not a Super Bowl. I don't even think it's a win total, because I think you could feel like if they win 6 or 7 games, I don't think I'm going to feel differently, right? Like, that one win is not going to make me feel better about this team going into the offseason, or worse going in about this team going into the offseason. I do think the goal for this year is for us to feel good about the direction that this organization is headed going into next offseason, given that they have ammunition in the draft where they can potentially move up to where they can potentially maybe possibly finally find a franchise quarterback, and then we can really move forward with things. But that, I think, should be what the goal is this offseason or this season for this organization. Like, don't put it on a win total. I want to feel better about this team at the end of the year than I do right now. And if that's the case, I'll feel good about
that. What I think is interesting about that stance specifically is, like, well, first of all, I think, like, everyone's going to have, like, a different definition of, like, how they feel good about the team to a degree. But I actually think that's kind of the right answer, where it's not a number. It's not like, hey, they got to win this many games. It kind of is just like, okay, are they trending in the right direction? And that so much rests on that specifically. Kevin Stefanski's future rests on that specifically, because I've talked about it. Like, if there's a chance we get to the offseason and we're talking about Andrew Berry differently than we were a year ago, and we're talking about Kevin Stefanski differently than we were a year ago, where I think Kevin Stefanski largely got kind of a pass for a lot of what went wrong last year. But, like, if Andrew Berry's draft class hits, if three out of the three of these guys, four of these guys, like, end up being consistent contributors and they look like they're giving you something, if Mason Graham's a star, if Carson Schwestinger's flying around, it looks like the you know, JOK 2.0, if you will. Like, I think people sort of leave and they're like, okay, Andrew finally got some. Even if guys like DeJuan Jones hold their own at left tackle, if Cedric Tillman takes that step that the Browns think he's going to take, I think the conversation around Andrew Berry starts to become like, okay, so he now has some players in here who can do some things. Why did the team only win 4 games, for example? And so then it kind of changes. But that's where I think, and I don't think anybody's, like, directly on the hot seat just based on what Jimmy Haslam's talked about this offseason. But I do think, like, as you talk about expectations for this team, real expectations for this team, I do think it is what you sort of allude to of get to the offseason and feel like there's tangibly something positive.
You just
want to
feel good. You want to feel good going in the offseason. I think that would make this year a success. I really do.
Let
think
me
that.
Ask you this, because Mitch brought up to us too, like, John Harbaugh was the one person who didn't say Super Bowl or bust, and he kind of pushed back on the Super Bowl or bust narrative. And we've seen other athletes over the course of time, like, push back on, like, the championship ring culture thing, you know, especially in the NBA. Damian Lillard was famous for that, obviously, when he was first in Portland. If Miles had shown up and not said Super Bowl or bust, like, would you have been mad at him for that? Like, would you?
I don't want those guys to, like, I don't want Myles Garrett to go into this season with a losing mentality. Yeah. And I don't think anybody should want that. But if he also said, you know, we want to
What if he said what you just said? What if he was like, our goal is to feel like we're headed in the right direction, feel positive about the direction of the team after the season?
So I think that might be a little different, but I do think there's a way that he could have answered it where he just not gone Super Bowl or bust. And I think he could have said, we want to prove people wrong, right? Yeah. Like, I don't think that he needed to, or I don't think anyone with the Browns need to put a concrete goal out there to the public. They don't have to do that. Now, the Super Bowl thing is a very concrete goal, and it's a goal that's not going to be accomplished this year. But I do think that they could have just said, we want to prove people wrong. We hear what people say about us. We know what the expectation externally is for the Cleveland Browns. We want to exceed those expectations, and we want to, this year, We want the Cleveland Browns to prove people wrong. I think that is the way to answer that question, because what are we going to say if he says that? Like, no issues, right? Where would he be wrong as far as that goes? Now, what proving people wrong looks like does leave it a little open-ended, right? You don't have a concrete thing that we are all looking at and say, okay, well, they didn't accomplish the goal. They didn't prove people wrong, or they did. Like, it's very much in a gray area, which kind of, if you're an athlete answering that kind of question, that's where you want to live, in the gray area.
Right.
But I do think for some organizations, like, no, it should be the whole Super Bowl or bust thing. Like, it should be the championship, should be the goal. That's what your eyes should be on. And the Baltimore Ravens are certainly one of them, right? Like, look at what they have. And for John Harbaugh to say, you know, maybe the Super Bowl isn't the goal. Like, that to me feels like a loser mentality, because you have a league MVP. You have the guy who was first team all pro at quarterback in Lamar Jackson. And you know what you've not done with him is have significant postseason success. Like, it's kind of, I think, for them, a little bit of now or never. And to say, well, you know, maybe that's not the be-all, end-all. I just feel like, okay, that's kind of a loser mentality type thing.
Are the Ravens the Cleveland Cavaliers of the NFL?
No, because I think the Cavs, when the Cavs get back from Media Day, you know what Donovan Mitchell is going to sit up there and say? This year's about winning a title.
Yeah, you are
Evan
right
Mobley's
going
to say that. Darius Garland's going to say that. And like all of those guys who they failed in the postseason, you know what they also said? We failed. We came up short. Like they wore that. And
John Harbaugh's just like, hey, life lessons.
Yes. Like I
that's
can.
That's all that matters.
I mean, maybe Kenny Atkinson won't go as far as some of the players will go, but Donovan Mitchell's going to sit up there at Rocket Arena or Cleveland Clinic Courts, wherever they have Media Day in late September, early October when they have it. And he's going to say, our goal is to win a title this year. We want to get to the finals. We want to win the finals. We want to be champions 1 year from now. Maybe he's not going to say those exact words, but that's going to be the message. I can promise you that's what's going to happen. So I wouldn't compare them to that, because I do think that they're going to sit here and say, we failed last year, which the Ravens also did. And the Ravens have failed a bunch of years in a row. We have championship expectations. We had them last year. We came up short. Our expectations to win a title this year.
It is surprising that with Lamar Jackson and all the failures of that organization in the postseason, there John Harbaugh wouldn't take a bigger swing at the thing that
especially
they should
for a guy that has won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, it's not like he hasn't been there. Now, with this current version of the Baltimore Ravens, obviously he has not, but he has won a Super Bowl in the past. Like, he knows what it takes. And him saying that makes me wonder if he knows they don't have enough around Lamar to do it. Like, I wonder if that is where this is coming from.
That's an interesting thought by Danny Cunningham. He's got more interesting thoughts coming up. I'm teasing it. The Guardians just keep on winning, man. It's a beautiful thing to see. I can tell, as much as I don't know how engaged fans are with, like, or like if there's excitement, true excitement about, like, Browns training camp, the quarterback competition, all that, I just still don't really feel it, but maybe it's just me. I can tell that the city is getting excited about the Guardians again. And now my biggest thing is, like, I wonder if that all goes out the window if they get to the trade deadline and just do nothing, because it does kind of feel like that could be what they do. That would be sort of par for the course for this franchise, to just do nothing. And if that sort of sucks some of the air out of this thing.
Do you think that'd be the wrong move, though?
Yes.
What do you... Well, then talk me through what the right move would be.
Okay, so...
Put on your GM hat. Let's make some moves, Spencer.
This leads nicely into kind of what we wanted to... The bulk of what we wanted to get into in terms of, like, what does buying potentially look like? Because, listen, the Guardians are playing themselves into being buyers. The Tigers are playing the Guardians into needing to be buyers, I think, as well, because of how they're playing right now, where they're closing this gap in the division. Mitch brought up that last year, Detroit was 50-53 at this point in the season. They were 12 games back of the...
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Guardians, who were in first at this time, and then they ended up finishing the season 6.5 games back of Cleveland. And so, but I remember getting even tighter than that at one point, where like Cleveland had that slump in August, and all the teams in the division kind of got a little closer, and then the Guardians kind of re-separated later. And so this is the perfect storm to buy. And to me, I had Al Pawlowski on over the weekend, and he mentioned like being slight buyers. And I was kind of curious, like, what does that look like? Right. And I guess like, if you're going to be a slight buyer, it's probably trading some prospect or prospects that like aren't your top guys, that are, you know, sort of just spending a lot of time in AAA, but they haven't got their major league shot yet, or they haven't really been able to make it in the majors. And you do what you did last year, which is like, hey, we added Lane Thomas. And I think if they do something like that, I'm not saying that means punch their ticket to the World Series, but I do think fans would be happy that they at least did something. I honestly think, though, the way that the Guardians should attack this is almost doing like the selling while buying thing. Like, you have a couple assets here that you can trade or flip to improve the thing that we know needs improving, which is the lineup. And I get it. They're playing a lot better right now. They look like the 27 Yankees as of this week. But that's also
Because that matters. I think that's a big part of this conversation. Right. As you think about whether or not they should be buyers, sellers, or stand patters, is this season, they are 21-37 against teams 500 or above.
That's a problem.
They've been really good against teams that are bad. They have, and give them credit because you don't always do this, but they have beaten teams that they're supposed to beat. And teams don't always do that, right? Like, you deserve some semblance of credit for doing that. However, they have not proven to me that they are a real contender. But I do think that the slight buyer thing makes some sense, because the way that this organization is operated when they have been in that position is they have made buying moves that don't just impact this year. They have made buying moves that are moves that not only make them maybe a little bit better this year, but make them better next year, that make them better the year after that. And if they are going to add at the trade deadline, I do think it needs to be a move that is something that's going to make them better in 2026. Because right now, until I actually see them have postseason success with the way that this lineup is built, I do believe in the pitching. Like, I think that their pitching is a real thing, and I will always believe in this organization's pitching with how good they've been doing that for over a decade. So I don't have issues there. But until I see this lineup go have success against good teams consistently, I'm not going to believe in them. And I don't know that we're going to get the opportunity to do that the rest of the season because of how soft their schedule is for the most part.
Yeah.
At least until the month of September.
I mean, leading up to the deadline, they finish off with the Orioles today. And then they get the Royals, who are the last. We can say that the Royals are the worst team in this division. And then you
I would say the White Sox are.
That's true. I lied. Yeah, the White Sox are worse. But then you get the... Then you get the Rockies, who are undoubtedly the worst team in baseball right now, right before the deadline. And I think you're right, Danny. Like, this stretch of the season is going to almost paint this fool's gold idea of who the Guardians are. And this is why I say, like, I am worried about them standing pat, because I think that they could just be like, hey, look what we're doing now. Because they love to do that. They love to live in the moment and be like, hey, you know, this didn't really work out, but look at this thing over here that's going really well. Like, it's why Stephen Vogt, like, as that 10-game losing streak was going on, sat there and said, like, I actually think we're playing some of our best baseball. They're so
good.
Which
was, come on.
We all know it was BS, but, like, they love taking, like, little bits and chunks of the season and being like, look at us now. Look, like, what we're doing, we don't need to change anything. Like, we're good. And I just think that would be a huge mistake, because to your point, yeah, look who you're playing. Can we really say this team has a chance to compete on the biggest stage in the postseason? Yes, the offense is clicking right now. We know how baseball is. It's a lot of ebbs and flows. It's a lot of peaks and valleys. They're at a peak right now offensively, but not so long ago. I mean, June was not that long ago, and they were awful in June. For 10 games, they lost 10 games in a row.
They were the worst team in baseball right in the month of June.
I cannot forget about that being part of this season as well, where it's like, yeah, you have what you have right now against bad teams, but I also saw what I saw in June, and so if the truth is somewhere in the middle, like, this offense still probably isn't good enough. I think you need to add something. I'm not opposed. I know other people probably are. I would not be opposed to doing something where you trade, like, a Class A, sure, and you get back a controllable asset, like you said, because they never make deals that are only for the now, that adds to your lineup, where you're injecting some life into that thing, getting some more offensive help, and, you know, maybe getting a controllable asset or two that you know is going to be here for the next couple of years as well, that you can also then build around moving forward into 2026 and beyond.
So I do look at the group of three guys, and it's Emmanuel Clase, it's Cade Smith, and Stephen Kwan. Three guys that could theoretically be moved. I wouldn't expect those guys to be moved, but I do think that the Guardians would need to be overwhelmed in order to trade one of those guys away. And I think if they are overwhelmed by an offer for one of those guys, maybe it does make sense, because if you are going to trade an Emmanuel Clase, and I think he's probably, of those three guys, probably has the lowest price tag via trade. I would think they would want more for Cade Smith just because of how long he's under team control. And I think they would probably want a little bit more for Stephen Kwan as well.
Clase, surprisingly, because of his contract, has a couple more years than I think
he's got two
realize.
Team options for $10 million.
But what's interesting with that is, like, we saw him struggle at the beginning of the year, and it's one of those, like, can you time it right where you get out from that before the drop-off comes? Because that tends to happen with closers.
Well,
like,
and I just think bullpens historically are pretty volatile.
For
right?
Sure.
Like, unless you
for
are
sure.
Mariano Rivera, as a reliever, you're going to be pretty volatile from year to year. And Emmanuel Clase has been awesome, and he is, in my opinion, the best closer in baseball. And has been that for several years. So I do wonder what they could get back from him. Like, if they trade him, does that automatically mean they're sellers? Or could they get stuff back that helps them this year and in the future? Could they get young players that are maybe in the major leagues right now or close to the major leagues right now that are making an impact in 2025 and then making a bigger impact in 26 and 27 when this organization, after what was, I think, a terrible offseason this past winter, which set them up to have a not great season this year, but could this lead into a good offseason this winter and then into true World Series contenders next season, the year after that, because ultimately that's what these moves need to be about. Maybe it's not winning the World Series this year, because I just don't think that as currently constructed, and even if you do make a trade like sending out Emmanuel Clase, I don't know that there's a deal out there that's going to make this team a World Series, a true World Series contender this year. But there are moves out there that I think could push them closer to being true World Series contenders next season. And I think ultimately at some point that needs to be more the goal for this franchise, because the thing I am tired of with the Guardians is them wanting to be just good enough to get lucky.
Oh, they that are, is they, the, have
they
mastered.
Are the, they are the kings of trying to be good enough to get lucky rather than trying to be great. I would very much just like them to try and win a World Series because they are the best team in baseball, not try and win in the World Series because, hey, we were good for 2 weeks in October. Because I don't think that works the same way it worked 10 years ago.
Yeah, listen, they are the masters of, you know, selling hope because they're always in the conversation, but they're always the bridesmaid, never the bride that way. And listen, if the Dodgers come calling and they're like, hey, we'll offer you Andy Páez or we'll offer you Dalton Rushing. Like, yeah, those are deals that help you now and in the future, to Danny's point. And I'd be willing to move off of somebody like Emmanuel Clase if that was the case. But I this is setting up where if they don't buy at this point, man, like I think fans should be woefully disappointed in how
this
deadline
goes. Do you think there's a world in which buying is a mistake, though? Because I could see with this,
only if it means you're getting, like, only if you were doing it for a rental, right? Like, if you were getting back, but that's the only way I see it as the wrong decision, because like just the way this team operates, they're not going to get fleeced like that anyway. But I just can't. I don't know. I'm like you, where I'm just sick of like them just doing enough to be in the conversation, but never actually get over the top. And people are still angry about the way they handled this offseason, even though I know the guys that they got are sort of contributing to the season, obviously. But I think you have to buy in some capacity. 216-474-0092 to the Guardians have to buy next week when the deadline approaches. Or is this streak they're on sort of a testament to maybe they can stand pat?
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.